Joining us right now, as he does every Thursday night at 8:30, and we're so lucky to have him, it is the one and only Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer of Levitt LLP. Howard Levitt, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, as always, Barb.
I believe I can call you the busiest employment lawyer in showbiz. You well, are right know. Now,
maybe,
right?
Maybe I'm just the busiest showbiz.
Yeah,
period,
all of it.
Period. I don't know. It's showbiz all the time.
Yeah. You still up north?
No, I just came back. I just got back for the show.
Oh, okay. That's why you say your connection sounds so fantastic. How was your visit away?
Well, it was relaxing. You know, you're right on a lake, so you jump into the lake whenever you get hot, and it's hot. So canoeing and jumping into lakes, it was, what could beat it? Nothing.
We've got people already lining up to speak to you, but I have to ask you, before we get into the employment law, I need your reaction to the We Charity situation with the Trudeau family. Have you, I know you follow on top of all this stuff.
A little less when I'm at the cottage, but I heard the recent aspect of this scandal. I mean, look, Margaret Trudeau has always been a ditz. So for anyone to give her $300,000 to speak is a joke. It's just a payoff to the prime minister. I mean, obviously, that's what it is. Sometimes you can't pay someone off directly, so you do it by helping their family members.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you said that, because Tony Chapman tweeted earlier today, and he does a lot of speaking engagements. That's part of his deal. And he said, I would love to hear this person speak, because it's so unusual for one person to do 28 speaking engagements with the same company and get at the top of the pay scale for it.
Well, we know what was going on. It's just a payback. I can give lots of examples in my career when someone to help someone that really didn't need the money, but they wanted to help them. So they had, in one case, I remember they had a brother-in-law that was going bankrupt that was really important to this very, very wealthy Canadian. So they bought his business to prevent it from going bankrupt and give him a lot of money. And that was the way of paying off the guy that was so rich he couldn't be paid off.
All right.
You help out the family.
Okay. La familia.
Yeah, exactly.
416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Howard Levitt is here. Employment law questions. Denise is on the line. Hey, Denise, go ahead with Howard.
Hi there, Howard. I was hired 11 months ago, and my boss said at the time it didn't matter to him if the contract was set up as a subcontractor or an employee. And then when I made my decision as an employee, he steered me towards the subcontractor.
He said, which is what he was really doing in the first place.
Oh, okay, because he said
was giving you a big, broad hint. He wants you to be a subcontractor, so he doesn't have to pay you benefits.
Because he goes, you can make some extra money with the HST, and you can write off your gas and your mileage.
Yeah, sure. That's what he was wanted. But
okay.
You can't choose. You're either an employee or an independent contractor in real life. You can call yourself a duck, but you're still a human being. You can call yourself an independent contractor if you're still employed, to work there 40 hours a week, every week, with one employer.
Right. And after, so what happened was I went to do my taxes, and the accountant said, well, you can't write off your car. You know, and then I shared with him, I got a laptop, they paid my training, I had vacation. I had a very low wage, way below market value, but then that's just my personal circumstances, that I wanted to get back into the workforce, being an older woman and concerned, you know, about being hired. So, you know, and then I looked up the definition, and I'm like, yes, I am an employee. Now, my question is, how do I get that record of employment from my boss?
You've left now, have you?
Well, he told me the other day, he laid me off because he wasn't happy with me having...
Well, you ask for it, he won't give it to you, and then you go to Service Canada and say, he won't give me a record of employment. And I'm really an employee, although we always call me an independent contractor. The problem is, you haven't paid into EI, nor is he. So now you're going to have real trouble. You won't have any insurable hours. I mean, it's a problem he's created for you.
Right. So
you thought it was great
to write
off fictitious expenses.
Will I have any success with this, going to Service Canada?
You'll get a record of employment issued with no insurable hours. That's your problem. I mean, you thought it was a great deal because you got to write off nonsensical expenses that every employee has and don't get to write it off. And now the S has come home to roost. That's the reality. It's never to your advantage in the long run. And you didn't get overtime pay if you worked overtime, and you didn't get statutory holiday pay, you didn't get vacation pay. Sure, you got all your money without having to pay it to Revenue Canada. At the end of the day, at the end of the year, you have to pay it anyway, and sometimes people don't hold back enough. So don't look a gift horse in the mouth, because it's not much of a gift horse, as you're now realizing.
Right. So basically, there's no point in doing anything.
Well, you can try, but it's going to be a very long struggle with lots of obstacles.
Okay.
Good news is Service Canada has seen it before, so, but you got a battle ahead of you, and there isn't enough money in it to justify legal fees. You're going to battle it alone.
Right. So if I can prove that I really was an employee, and realizing it after I did, because I didn't do my taxes from last year when the accountant said that, I said, well, I didn't do any of my taxes, and I went back to my boss, and I said, well, I can't write anything off. It's not, it's not legal. And he said, oh, well, you agreed to it. And I said, well, I agreed to it based on what you told me that, you know, you can hire me as a subcontractor.
He didn't give you a choice. He was never going to hire you as an employee. He wasn't going to. That was the only basis. So it was a fraudulent basis for a fraudulent transaction, and at the end of the day, you're going to have one heck of a battle trying to get EI. You'll get a record of employment. They'll treat you that way, but then you're going to have to show you had insurable earnings, and there's no record kept of your earnings. So you're going to have to prove your hours, prove your earnings. It's not going to be easy.
Right. Well, I can prove my earnings because I invoiced every month.
Okay. It's not going to be easy. You have no insurable hours registered for unemployment insurance purposes. So you're going to have them translated into insurable earnings, and they're going to be contesting it. And because you're not coming into it with clean, you're not coming into it with clean hands.
Yeah.
You invoiced. You treated yourself as an independent contractor.
Denise, thanks a lot for the call. It's a great point. And, you know, I think that people, as you say, and no fault to Denise, but they see the benefits of being a contractor without really understanding the whole situation and what it takes to actually legitimately be an independent contractor.
And right now she's been laid off, i.e. terminated. She could sue for wrongful dismissal, but the first line of defense is, well, she's not an employee. She can't sue for wrongful dismissal. She can, but just another obstacle she's going to have to overcome anything she wants to do.
Our friend Howard Levitt is here, Canada's top employment lawyer. You can hear him every day with Jerry Akar or Deb Hutton or whoever's filling in for Jerry at 10 in the morning. And then Sundays at 1 with Employment Law right here on News Talk 1010. He joins us every Thursday night at 8:30. Howard Levitt, are you okay? I hear you whispering.
Yeah. My daughter just came in. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Just let us know when you're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, cool. 416-872-1010. Susan is next. Hi, Susan. Go ahead with Howard Levitt.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I've been an employee with the company for the last 17 years, and due to COVID, my employer laid me off temporarily. He's still paying into my benefits.
Your employer did what?
Laid me off temporarily.
Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, go on.
Yeah, and he's still contributing to my benefits, my health benefits.
Yes, that's you know why? Because that allows them to lay you off 22 weeks longer.
Okay.
Oh.
He's not doing it for your sake.
Mm-hmm.
It increases the period of layoff, technically under the Employment Standards Act, by 22 additional weeks.
Yeah. I think also the government extended the temporary layoff till September.
Well, it doesn't quite work that way. It's 13 weeks if there's no benefits, 35 weeks if there is benefits, and it starts 6 weeks after the state of emergency ends. But that doesn't prevent someone from suing for constructive dismissal. That's just for Employment Standards Act severance.
Okay. So right now, I'm not sure what's my status. Like, I don't think he's going to call me back to work because he closed the business. Like, there's no office for me to go back. He said he's going to go to do business online remotely. There's no system in place. They're still working on that. But his idea is that people can work from home at some point.
But you're not working from home.
Not No,
you're not, you're not making any money at all. He is hoping you find other work and never return and resign to take another job, and he never has to pay you.
But now, I don't want to do that.
I understand. So how old are you?
I'm 49.
And what did you earn a year?
About 35,000, 40,000.
And what was your position?
Administrative assistant.
Did you say 15 years? Did I hear that correctly earlier?
17, yeah.
17.
17 years. 17 years, okay. Mm-hmm. I think a court would probably give you 12 months' pay. But you've got to move on it. You can't sit around and do nothing because you'll be deemed to have accepted. Now, when were you laid off?
March, mid-March.
Now, that's a problem because unless they said it will end as of a certain date, did he say it will end as of a certain date when he first laid you off? Did he say just for 3 months or just for 2 months or did he give any time?
No return date, no return date.
Well, okay, that's a problem because by doing nothing and saying nothing and not limiting it yourself and saying, for example, I'll allow this for only 3 months or allow this until the state of emergency ends or something, and saying nothing for 4 months, you've accepted it. So now you only can sue if two things happen. One, he tells you you're terminated or you're not going back to work. If he tells you that, then you're terminated and he can sue at that point. Or if he calls back other people, which may or may not happen from what you're saying, and mm-hmm. doesn't call you back, then you can sue at that point. But by accepting it initially and waiting now 4 months, if you suddenly sue now, they have a good argument you've accepted the change.
Well, I'm waiting for him to terminate or to tell us, like, if he's going to ever call us back. But
I understand, but he's not rushing to tell
you. I don't need to wait. You mean I don't need to wait?
Now you do need to wait by not having taken a position at the beginning mm-hmm. and time limiting it yourself and saying, I'll only accept this for X period of time. You've accepted the change without protest.
Because
so now you do have to wait.
Mm-hmm. When he closed, it was temporary.
You have to wait until either the period of time in the Employment Standards Act ends, which could be, if he's paying benefits, could be a year, could be close to a year away, or if he calls other people back, or if he terminates you. Until then, you have no recourse.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot for the call. I know it wasn't the news that Susan wanted to hear, but we're going to give her a smart speaker, so hopefully that helps. Hang on, Susan. Mark's going to take your information. It's a tough one, and you know, Howard, I hear you all the time, and I feel like there have been so many situations where employees have just accepted this sort of indefinite layoff because they don't know any better or what to do or what their rights are.
Well, I've been listening to you, they know, because I've been pleading with them every week.
I know.
Respond the following way. Say, I will accept this for X months. I will accept this until we're back working. I'll accept this until the state of emergency ends. I'll accept this on some premise that it will be triggered. And the employer can't simply go back and never recall them until ESA ends in a year, which the government keeps extending.
Right.
And now she's in a terrible situation. And if they're going to close down the office... I guess if they close down the office permanently, she can deem that to be a dismissal and sue at that point. But she's going to have to wait for some triggering event now where she could have sued right at the beginning. She didn't have to agree for 2 months or 3 months or 1 month or any other period. She could have sued immediately.
Well, and that's what I mean. I feel like some employees felt like they were powerless and don't understand the rights that they have. Now, you mentioned triggering situations, and one of those being if, say, coworkers got called back but she didn't, would be one of those situations?
That would be one of those situations, yes.
Okay. All right,
but
I've got it.
And remember, Barb, if we had this conversation 6 months ago, and an employee called in and said, by the way, the employer just stopped paying me. He said, go home. So I call you back. I'm not going to pay in the meantime. Who would not think to sue immediately? But all of a sudden, what happens to half the country, no one thinks to sue. But nothing's changed legally. COVID doesn't change the law.
Okay.
That's what's frustrating.
All right. We've got Sheldon on the line. Hi, Sheldon. Go ahead with Howard.
Hi, good evening.
Hey, Sheldon.
How can I help?
I just wanted to know, when should my employer start paying me time and a half?
If you're in a provincially regulated company, like most people in Ontario, after 44 hours worked, and that does not include lunch hour.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, okay. Sheldon.
That was easy.
What are some companies that are not regulated? Like, what would that industry be?
You.
Ah.
Radio, television, railway, airlines, cable companies, television stations. You know, about 5% of employees. And there it's over 8 hours in a day or 40 hours in a week. So
okay.
That is much easier to get overtime pay.
All right. I'm going to start working on that. Hi, Howard. I work for a large hotel chain in Toronto. I've been there 30 years. Mm-hmm. I was laid off in February of this year due to COVID-19. Collected EI from March 1st till June 27th, 16 weeks. I have not been called back to work yet and have no other source of income. Do I qualify for CERB?
Well, if you're laid off because of COVID-19, you absolutely qualify for CERB if that's why he was laid off, which I presume it was.
So, yes. Esmeralda, so she.
She, okay.
Esmeralda.
And then she qualifies for CERB.
Okay, so even if you've collected EI?
It doesn't matter. Assuming she made more than $5,000 in the previous year, and she's over 15, she qualifies for CERB.
Okay, that's great. What are some of the other things that you are hearing about as we have a minute or two left? Because it used to be all about CERB. That was a question about CERB. But I feel like as I'm listening to you now, there are a lot of stories about people going back to work. You know, you wrote a great column for the Financial Post about anxiety is not a reason to not go back to work.
No. What am I hearing about now? I'm hearing about people saying, I don't want to go back to work. Or employers saying they don't want to go back to work, I need them, or I'm happy they don't go back to work, and I fire them. And the answer is yes, you can, if they refuse to go back to a safe workplace. I'm hearing about employees refusing to wear masks when they're required to wear masks in the workplace. Employers have a right to require masks. If they do, and the employee doesn't abide by that rule, they could be ultimately, first of all, suspended from coming into the office and ultimately fired for cause. Those are two of the big issues. I guess the third issue right now is childcare. Employees who are now called back to work, and they say, life was pretty cushy before. I looked after my kid, saved daycare. Now I have to go back to work. Well, I have kids. I have to look after them. And that's a real conundrum because the employer can find you a daycare if they can and then require you to pay for that daycare and go back to work. But if you can't find a daycare, the employer can't find a daycare. You can get CERB and refuse to return to work. And if the employer fires you for that, it's a human rights violation, child care status. Family status, I should say.
Sure.
So those are the big issues right now. And people think they have a right to not wear a mask. Well, no, they don't have a right to not wear a mask. And in fact, if there's requiring a mask and employers don't abide by those regulations, for example, in stores and public facilities, and someone gets sick for COVID, they have a very good case against the employer for negligence. For not following public health guidelines and municipal guidelines. So employers had better follow those guidelines.
Howard Levitt, we appreciate your time so much. I can't tell you. Oh, I'm getting a last minute. Somebody, all caps, please, I have to read you this one.
Okay, good.
I was just given 2 weeks notice. Company not making enough money to keep me. 6 years employed as graphic designer, 42 years old. Aren't I due a much longer notice or pay in lieu of notice?
I wish they told us how much they earn. I'd be more specific, but I would think it'd probably be about 5 months pay. Depending upon their salary, it's somewhere between 4 and 6 months.
Okay. Not 2 weeks.
Not 2 weeks. No, not 2 weeks.
Howard,
4 to 6 months.
Thank you so much for this. Really, really
Barb,
appreciate it.
Always have fun. And by the way, about I heard a rumor a long time ago that these crane workers have a private company with a similar name and lots of money gets funneled into it. They were making $1 million a year. Now, this could be totally wrong, but I heard it from a source like 6 years ago. So I think these guys have to be very closely investigated, not just trusted.
All right. Howard Levitt, thank you so much for that. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Barb.
Howard Levitt, Levitt LLP, Canada's top employment lawyer. The opinions of our guests do not reflect the opinions of the radio station. And we're going to have him back next Thursday night, and he'll be on with Jerry or Deb, who's filling in for Jerry, tomorrow at 10 and on employment law Sunday at 1.